Similar. Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. That says precious blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Can we just sing that? Praise the Lord. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh,
I had the phone in the car and I never heard it, but I think the brothers have tried to contact me. I knew Mark wasn't coming, but appreciate Brother John and everyone that's here tonight. The Lord bless each and every one. And maybe we could turn in our Bibles till 1 Corinthians. I hadn't wrote this down for Matthew either. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. And just one verse, and then I want to talk a little bit tonight about the abolishment of death and the action of it being abolished. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you tonight that we can enter into your courts with praise. We thank you for the songs we've been singing. We thank you, Lord, that we can sing. We've something to sing about, as our brother John said. You put a new song in our souls. We praise you for it, Lord Jesus. We pray you'll cover us with your blood and let the Holy Ghost be in our midst. Lord, I take the Holy Spirit to help me tonight in Jesus' precious name. And I thank you that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. There's lots in Corinthians we could read about death being abolished. And we know from the time of Adam and Eve, when they first bent over the murdered body or the form of Abel, down to this very present time, death has reigned in the human race. We know that. And no one except Enoch, in the age before the flood, and Elijah, in the Jewish dispensation, they both escaped death. Enoch walked with God, and the Lord took him. And we know we're living in the seventh or last church age. And Enoch is a type, scripturally, of the last church age. Because Enoch was a seventh from Adam. And we're in the last church age. So we're at the time of the rapture, the coming of the Lord. And Enoch walked with God, and God took him. And there is people that is going to escape death. They won't die even physically, because the Lord will take them and transform them, and they'll be raptured, caught away. And we're going to look at that briefly this evening. And we know Enoch and Elijah was caught up in the chariots of fire into the heavens, and he never died. He went to be with the Lord. And we know that death's power, you know, it's something that most people's never going to escape, because it's right down all through the ages. But we know there's one man escaped it completely, and it had no power on him whatsoever. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. Death had actually no power over Jesus Christ, and he is the one that will abolish death, like we've read this evening. I want to read 2 Timothy 1 verse 10 also. 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Now, if someone's abolished, it's done away with. It's done away with. Jesus Christ has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So life and immortality, that's everlasting life, immortal, that is someone that can't die. And it is through the life of Jesus coming in you, when you receive his life, and I try to explain on Sunday, when you take the name, you're getting the life. Amen. You can't get the name and three titles. I'm sorry. Amen. It doesn't come in three titles. Amen. Of a Trinity baptism or a Trinity teaching, but it comes through the name of Jesus Christ alone. That's the only name that life, no church, organization, priest or pope, but through the name of Jesus Christ alone it comes. And the gospel brings the light, immortality, someone that's going to, can't die, they're going to live forever. Amen. Even though the physical body dies, there is a part of you that cannot and will not die. You have a soul that is redeemed, precious to the Lord. And God's going to come back and pick your body up also. How many knows that? The bodies that are in the grave, the Lord's going to come and pick them up. They're going to come out of them graves. And them graves are going to be emptied when Jesus Christ comes again. Hallelujah. And you know that's not even the end of it there. The Bible is some book. After the rapture, after we go and we spend time in heaven with the Lord, and when he comes back and we'll stand with him, King and Queen, on the Mount of Olives, you'll split in the great river right up into Jerusalem. And we'll stand with him, King and Queen, with the Lord. And we're going to live and reign in this earth for 1,000 years. And the devil's going to be bound for 1,000 years. And we're going to live and reign with the Lord in this earth for 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. And there's going to be another judgment at the end of all that. And they're going to come up and stand before God. I tell you, nobody's going to miss it. The things that people's done that they think nobody saw it, God sees everything. Aren't you glad you're under the blood of Jesus, as we've sung? That you're cleansed, you're washed, you're pure, you've life tonight. And that more abundantly. Hallelujah. What is death? Death is a departure of the soul and the spirit from the body, leaving the body to corruption and desolation. What does the word abolish mean? The dictionary tells us the definition: to do away with, to put an end to, annul, destroy. Naturally, the people ask Jesus, if he has abolished death, why do men still die? And God answers it. And our brother John said it on Sunday, and we believe it in this fellowship: you cannot have everlasting life in hell. That's false teaching. Not right? There's only one form of eternal life, that's through Jesus Christ. Death and hell give up the dead, and they were cast into the lake of fire, which is a second death. The brother mentioned it well on Sunday morning. I tell you, there's no such thing as people having eternal life in hell. That's false teaching. Saying that they'll have eternal life. There's only one form of eternal life. That's through Jesus Christ. And if you have him, you'll never go to hell. You'll go straight to heaven. Hallelujah! Amen. I'll tell you about that. You're seated right now. In heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. The word of God says he's translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Death has been abolished by a proclamation. I'll tell you that right now. It's been abolished. When God planted, you know, in the Garden of Eden and placed man in it, he publicly made a law of rules. God forbid them. Eating of the forbidden fruit, the knowledge of good and evil. And he told them the penalty of breaking this law was death. And death was twofold. First, it was spiritual death, for Adam and Eve died spiritually. They were still physically living. The moment they broke that law, secondly, it was a physical death. There would come a time when Adam and Eve would physically die. They would spiritually die and they'd physically die. And we know that they should have lived 1,000 years, but they didn't. And no man lived 1,000 years. But we are going to live them 1,000 years in the millennial reign. The Bible tells us that. Because God's going to prove it can be done. That's why. And we know that Adam was 930 years after the fall, and death was introduced into the world by the sin of Adam. Romans 5 verse 12. For by the sin of one man, sin entered into death, entered. Whereas by the sin of one man, into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for all of sin. Death passed upon all men because of sin. So the reason of death is sin. Sin's the answer. Until there was sin, there was no death. But after sin came death. And every single thing that's wrong is because of sin and death. But there's an answer. And that answer is in the person of Christ. This law of death is still in force because it has never been repealed. A law, however, may be nullified. You can nullify a law or make it of no effect, abolished by the enactment of a greater law. Hallelujah. When it goes into the effect, will counteract that law that went before. So the law of death, though it has never been repeated, has been abolished by the law of the resurrection. So Jesus set another law, that was the law of the resurrection, and not only did he set it, he says, I'm the first fruits, so there's others to follow. And because Jesus resurrected, he showed death that death will die. And he conquered death, and he conquered hell at Calvary. He conquered them, and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Glory! Death, you know, is not separation from God. Death gets you right up to God. Amen. I tell you, it takes you into the presence of God. Christ abolished death when he rose from the dead. And death will be abolished for all of us that believe when the rapture takes place. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, praise God. But I would not have you to be ignorant. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not. Now that means asleep, they're not dead. Those that are asleep are in Christ, so they're not dead. Amen. Death can affect them. The physical body's dead, but they're not there. They're gone. There's a soul that has went on. Hallelujah. That ye sorrow not even as others that have no hope. You have a hope. What's Romans tell us about hope in Romans 5? For hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. We have a hope this evening. And the new notes of an answer, but hope steadfast and sure, which is anchored into that within the veil. Christ has already went in. He's a forerunner. This is no more type. He's the real thing. Glory. Hallelujah. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and even so them also asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. God will bring them with him. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, those that's in him. That's the ones that's got his name. Amen. If they've got his name, they're in him. They're in him and he's in them. Amen. And that means his life's in them. Praise God. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus Christ is coming for his people again. Do you realize we could see the coming of the Lord? We mightn't die. Some of us might never physically die. The Lord could take us. And we could go to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. I know the Bible says no man knows the day they are. But we know we're in the time, the season. When you see the fig tree putting forth, that's Israel, and the other trees putting forth, and Israel became a nation again in 1946. And all the other trees know that it's nigh, even at the door. Hallelujah. And I tell you, the Lord's coming again. By the slaying of Christ, death potentially slew himself. You see, death never took Jesus, but Jesus willingly went. But death thought it did, but it was wrong. How many knows Jesus says, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. He was always in control. Amen. Never lost control. For he opened the door for Christ to enter into his dominions. The grave and the underworld. We can picture death saying to the captain of the tomb, hold on to that man in Joseph's tomb until corruption shall have seized upon him. For if he comes out, he will make a breach of the walls of Hades, the underworld, through which all the prisoners of Hades will escape. That's the Lord they were talking about. They were afraid of him. And I can prove that. For the Bible says, if the princes of this world had known, they would never have crucified him. But they didn't know it. But I tell you, he conquered them. He conquered them. And my Bible says he led captivity captive. Hallelujah. And he rose up and he gave gifts unto man. Amen. That's why there's gifts in the church tonight, all right. Glory to God. Of all, praise God. For if he comes out, he'll make a breach, praise God. But it was not death that had taken Jesus Christ captive. Christ simply pursued death. He pursued death into its own domains. And then conquering him, came forth leading captivity captive, crying, I am the resurrection and the life. This is the same one that said it to at Lazarus' grave, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. Amen. In me ye shall both live and have life. In Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad for Christ? Why would you point somebody somewhere else? There's nowhere else men and women can be pointed till. Let us go till Psalm 68 verse 18 for a moment. Psalm 68 verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. See that we word at the side of your Bible, Selah. That means meditate and think on these words. That's what that means when you see that in your Bible. That's a pause. That is to hold station for a moment and think on it, what the Lord's done for you. He's rose up and he's given gifts and he wants you to think about it. He wants you to meditate about it because he's done it for you. Amen. And he's coming again. Jesus is coming again. It'll not matter how big of a house you're living in, or what you've got or what you haven't got. When the Lord comes, you're going, look at the rich man Lazarus. One of them had everything and went straight to hell. The other one had nothing and he went to a special prepared place. Isn't that right? And I tell you, it doesn't matter what we've got down here. It's what we have up there. We need to have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus and wealth untold. There's nothing wrong with having things and God can bless. I know that. But for those that haven't got Jesus, it's not going to matter what they've got here. They'll never buy their way to heaven. It's free. It's free. Aren't you glad this evening is free? Look what Christ said to John on the Isle of Patmos when he appeared to him in Revelation 1 verse 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, and you know it's significant, that right hand, you could preach a sermon right on that. That's all power. It doesn't say he laid the left hand, the right one. That's authority and power right there. That's what that symbolizes. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear thou not, for I am the first to last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus is the keys. Amen. Amen. How many knows he kept keys to Peter? That's the truth. He kept Peter power. And he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loosen up, be loosed in heaven.
Amen.
I had a conversation with a Catholic man the other day, and he said to me, can you explain to me where... And he was referring to a Catholic priest, and this man's a Catholic, but he got saved. This man got saved. And he says he no longer goes to the priest, but he says, you know, for it says that, it's speaking of Peter, whosoever sins they remit, they remit it. Whosoever sins they retain, they retain. And William Branham's the only man I ever heard saying it, but he said, God gave the prescription to do it. Now, if you go to the doctor will give you a prescription for curing something, isn't that right? And if you follow the prescription and take the medicine he says to take, it cures it. And God's prescription for the forgiveness of sin is Acts 2:38. Repent ye therefore every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the prescription God gave Peter. And you know, Peter, he was converted. Jesus says, when you're converted, you will strengthen my brethren. Is that right? And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost filled that man. He had a baptism of fire of the Holy Ghost, and he preached a red hot sermon. It's not the truth. A Pentecostal message. God filled him and inspired him, and he preached him with the Holy Ghost coming, and he quoted from the book of Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that God will pour out his spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And upon his young man, he'll pour his handmaidens are going to get the Holy Ghost. And young men will dream dreams, and old men will see visions. And he preached it. And the Holy Ghost coming back to him. Amen. And they said, what shall we do? And he said, repent every one of you. You don't hear him saying, follow the Trinity doctrine. I'll call three titles over you. There's a brother here knows a good Methodist minister brought me to his side, and he says, brother, you know, Peter made a mistake. And I said, that lets me know you're false. Peter could not make a mistake, because the Bible says Peter had the keys to the kingdom. Peter was operating in revelation. That's the truth.
Amen.
Peter fulfilled Matthew 28 when he said the name of Jesus Christ, because he said, go and baptize in the name of the Father. That's the Lord. The Son is Jesus. And the Holy Ghost anointed Christ.
Amen.
Anything else is a title. He doesn't say take the title. Go to the bank with your checkbook and write your title, Father, on it and Son on it. And the man will never give you a pound. He'll get nothing. You sign the name that's on that account, and I guarantee you'll get the cash out. Is that right?
Amen.
No other name. That's the truth.
Amen.
But I'll tell you something. There's very few people that will do it right.
Right. Amen.
Because they wouldn't want to lose what they've got. But I tell you one thing, what a prophet of God said. He said, if the truth chases people off, let it chase or let it do whatever it'll do. Because the truth will set you free.
Amen.
Ye shall know the truth will make you free. Don't compromise on the truth of God. You'll find when you go other places, they won't compromise you about the Trinity. They'll hammer it home. They'll let you know about the Trinity. Is that the truth? And a lot of other false stuff along with it. But it's the truth, brothers. Not one scripture says it. Not one verse. And you throw the challenge out, and nobody's going to ever come up and prove you different, because there's not a verse in it. I've read it all. Every single scripture in the book of Acts, they're baptizing the Lord Jesus or Jesus Christ. They never done it any other way. That's the Bible. After they received the commission, the book of Acts is our blueprint. That's what we're to follow. Is that the truth? I tell you, when you get that name, you've got life. The power of God comes with a name. Glory to God. Did you hear that? As many receive that name, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. Is that right? There's power in that name. I tell you, I watched Letzer Simmer the other night. I don't even have to come up, but it came on my thing, and I watched it, and I was telling a fellow about it yesterday. I was telling him all about it. I said, did you ever hear of a woman called Loretta Villanetta that had powerful demons? And they locked her in cages and they put her in a mental asylum. They said she was a lunatic. And the priest came and he put her in a cage, and he got in the cage with her, a priest, a Roman Catholic priest. And there was a Catholic man with me when I told his testimony, and I'm telling you, he had tears in his eyes. He believed it, but Protestants on the job didn't believe it. They didn't believe a word of it. But she said, they're coming now to bite me, them demons. And he said, where are they going to bite you? She said, on the hands. And he put his hands over his hands. He said, they bit me. And he said, well, there's no marks in my hands. And when he took his hands away, her both hands was bitten with physical bite marks and blood coming out. And his hair turned gray, and he died in 24 hours. With the shock of it. And they could do nothing with her. But a man called Lester Semerall. Now, I want you to get this. He was one down from Wigglesworth. Now, I'm saying that reverently. I hope you know what I'm saying. He was inspired by Smith Wigglesworth. Wigglesworth prayed for him, laid hands on him, and said, let all the gifts that's in me be Lester Semerall. And I tell you, when Lester Semerall went, he discovered this was a powerful demon, and he went back to his hotel to fast and pray like Jesus said. And when he came back, he got the victory, and God delivered Loretta Villanueva. And there was an institution built because the Prime Minister of that country said, whatever you want, you can have it. And they built a place. It's still there as far as I know. That's the power of God. That's the power of the name. Now, Semerall didn't call titles over. He called the name of Jesus Christ over that devil. And it came out in terror. Hallelujah. I tell you, God's real. God is real. There's something real about that name. You know, William Branham said he went into the house and they worked on witchcraft, and he said the table was floating right off the ground with witchcraft. And that table was floating in the air, and he said, in the name of the Holy Church, the table never moved. He said, in the name of the Trinity, it still never moved. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, he said, it's like to break the four legs off it. It hit the floor that hard. It came down because there's power in the name. There's no other name given whereby we must be saved. There's power in that name. That's why the graves is opening, because of that name. He's coming for those that took his name.
That's right.
Do you hear that? Those that took his name, he's coming for them.
That's right.
They're sealed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians tells us. The Holy Ghost sealed. Unto the day of redemption. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Praise God. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:26. And I'm going to close in a moment. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Praise God, death. Amen. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I tell you, one of the best insights is a little message, a little booklet called Beyond the Curtain of Time, where a man was allowed to see beyond what it was like. I said, you know, in the presence of there was a man, he's on the phone with me one night, and his wife was beside him on the phone, and she gave a stink when I mentioned about an animal being in heaven. She nearly swallowed the phone. She doesn't believe that. I said, well, what are you going to do with the horses that come to get Elijah? Where are they? Tell me where they are. And I said, what about the white horse Jesus is coming on? Where's it? I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, people can have an idea what they're taught, but is it in the Bible? It must be in the Word of God. And if it's in the Word of God, God can do it. It's the same thing when somebody said, how do you know Moses and Elijah are going to be there? Because on the Mount of Transfiguration, already with them. They appear already on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord, is that right? And his garment shone. He was lit up. And they appeared with him. And the disciples said, we'll build three tabernacles here. And the voice higher up said, no. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Don't we build no organization. Follow the voice. Hear the voice. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hear the voice. Follow the voice. Thank God for the voice. The immorality of the body, Jesus Christ not only abolished death, he brought life and immorality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel we have everlasting life. That's why the gospel... Why do you think the devil wants people not to preach the gospel? You can join what's called the message movement, and you can talk about everything you want. As long as you don't preach the gospel, you'll get amens and how they'll jump all over the place, some of them. That's the truth. We know that. And all the movements are the same. There's no difference in any of the movements. There can be all movements, but is God in it? That's the question. Is God in it? Is Jesus Christ uplifted? Hallelujah. It was immorality of the body, not the soul, and Jesus brought to life. The immorality of the soul, you know, that's not questioned, that part. Under the Old Testament, we know that. But the immorality of the body was about until Jesus revealed it and proved it by his resurrection of his own of the dead. He proved it when he raised himself. They knew the soul could was the immorality of the soul, but they didn't realize that the body could have it. And the Lord raised. Now I know, you know, smart Alex, because I've heard them, and you know there's no physical body in heaven, just a spirit. Well, that's rubbish. Because my Bible says Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the majesty in hand. He ever lived to make intercession for the saints. I believe in a body resurrection. A literal body resurrection. You believe that? I'll tell you why I believe it. Because he said to Thomas, put your hands in here. You can feel the marks. I'll tell you about that. I'll go further than that. What about when he says, where did the Jews are going to say to Jesus, where did you get these marks in your hands? And Jesus said, in the house of my friends, talking to his own Jewish people. That's what he's going to say, and they're going to see him, and he's going to have the marks on him. Amen. Amen. That's the Bible. Thank God for the Bible. Praise God. Once the bodies of the righteous are raised, they can never die again. They can't. For they are equal unto the angels that never die and are the children of God, being the children of the first resurrection. On whom death has no power. That's what your Bible teaches. If you have part in the first resurrection, the death has no power on you. You'll not even have a physical death. Did you know those people won't have a physical death like Enoch? And like Elijah, they were taken up. Luke 20:36, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the first resurrection. Of the resurrection. But this is not true of the bodies of the wicked. The bodies of the wicked shall rise again at the second resurrection. And the judgment shall be sentenced, second death. I tell you, that's something. Nobody wants to be in that. Somebody said you could scare people. I tell you what, see if I can. I'll do it. Yeah. Somebody said you could scare the life out of them preaching like that. Well, if I could scare the life clean out of them, I'd do it. Because that's what people need. They go on these joyrides and different things to get scared. Well, the preaching could scare them. We need to start doing it and get them scared. So they can't sleep a few nights and start thinking about God. Not the truth. I'll tell you something, the old time preaching and Pentecostal movement scared the life right out of them. You know, I tell you, Oral Roberts preached a message once in a tent. And he preached about Samson. And he preached where they brought him up to them pillars. And Oral Roberts, in the sermon, got so enthused in his own sermon that he caught the pillars in the tent and he broke the pillar. He actually broke the pillar himself. He was a big man. He broke it, showing what Samson done, and the people of life got scared clean out of him. And he almost lost thought, he said, where he was for a moment. And he had to assure the people that the tent will not fall. It's all right. And I tell you, the power of God moved in that place that night. I know another man in America was preaching, and people, they came to the front, all right. They cried to get to the front. Oh, we need God to move, don't we? Amen. So many people think it's a big joke, big laugh. But I tell you, God's second death's no joke or laugh. It's real. Revelation 20, verse 11 and 12. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. This is Almighty God. This is awesome. There's nothing like this on this earth. Hallelujah. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand. works according to their works. Aren't you glad your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life?
Amen.
From the foundation of the world. God didn't mark it in it one day, it was always in it. Let's come and pray tonight. Praise God. Brother Laurie's going to be preaching Sunday morning, the Lord willing. Pray for Brother Laurie. That God will make him come. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray tonight. And we'll have a bit of prayer and then at the end, maybe Brother John will come and sing us. I really enjoyed, you know, one of them hymns. I hadn't heard it in years. I heard it on an old tape years ago. And boy, there's nothing to beat the old stuff. Sure there's not. It's brilliant. Let's bow our heads tonight and come before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the resurrection. You're the first fruits of the resurrection. You are the resurrection. Lord, we know if we have you, we have the resurrection, for we have life. And death is abolished in you. Father, I pray for everyone in this room that needs your comfort and strength tonight. May the Holy Ghost come upon your people, strengthen them and comfort them in the name of Jesus Christ, for the healing as well upon men and women tonight. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, help us to preach the truth. For you have said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Bless everyone in this room tonight. Lord, we don't know how long we have here, and we don't know when you're going to come. But Lord, we would petition you tonight with our children, with the wife, with the husband, with the son, with the daughter, with the mother, the father, the niece, the nephew, the aunt, the uncle. Oh God, move upon them by your Spirit. Cover all that's near and dear to us with your precious blood and save them. May there be not one of them lost at that great coming day of the catching up. May they go, Lord. Father, I pray you'll deal with them, that you'll move upon them. Help us to be the people of God you want us to be. Rid us of our own ways, our own ideas, of habits, of anything. Lord, we know you've spoken to us over this last week or two through your Spirit. May the Holy Ghost deal with every one of us. May you wash us and cleanse us and sanctify us with the washing of the water of the Word in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you said you're now clean through the words I've spoken unto you. We thank you for your Word, and we thank you for your blood, and we thank you for the Holy Ghost power. Oh God, fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray you'll bring the convicting power of God into this building. Lord, when people come in these doors, something will happen. There'll be a change. There'll be a conviction. Lord, when your people come in, they'll be blessed and strengthened and healed by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask for we brother Laurie for Sunday of Bible story. We pray that the power of God come all over him. We rebuke the devil over his life. We pray for the anointing power of God to come on that man. When he steps up behind this desk, that you'll fill his mouth what to say, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. May you bless him and strengthen him and bless your people. Lord, for those this evening that have needs and praying, strengthen them, bless them. Bless again our sister Eiling and Aaron and Matt, Samuel. Oh God, give them your strength and your grace. Lord, for others in this room as well, strengthen them, bless them. Meet needs, Lord. Touch bodies, heal. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Lord, we have boasted about your name. Lord, your prophet said if we would talk about you, you would come on the scene. Lord, we want you to come on the scene tonight and move in this place, even though there'll be few of us. You promised if we're met in your name, you're in the midst, and that to bless us. Bless your people now, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's continue just to seek the Lord tonight.